Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. Today's podcast is solving the spring market mystery, rates, inventory, boom or bust. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be drilling down and we're going to be giving you four very powerful reasons why you actually should feel optimistic, incredibly excited about the remainder of this year. And yes, we know there still is in most of the country just a massive lack of inventory. Mm-hmm. You know, Julie and I were just at an event in Dallas and we were surveying some of the agents there about how many, you know, weeks or months of supply they have. And the normal answer was about 30 days, which, by the way, a normal market is 90-day supply of homes for sale. And really what I'm talking about, for some of you that don't know what that means, if you look to see what the total number of active inventory, total number of homes there are in the MLS, and then you divide it by the total number of homes that sold the previous month, that gives you an indication of how many months supply of homes. So in some markets, we're looking at weeks supply of homes. So yeah, that is creating a lot of consternation in the market. But you're going to love Julie's point number four, when we get to it. I like how you put the best point last.
Yes.
Because I think you're going to feel a sense of relief when we share with you how, frankly, a lot of them, and these were top producing agents, are finding lots of inventory for sale. So get ready to take notes. And by the way, speaking of notes, our newsletter is coming along. It is still in the editorial process, but you are able to subscribe. So if you want the complete show notes from today's podcast, all of our podcasts, please make sure you subscribe to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com, HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. And also the link to subscribe is below in the show notes. HarrisRealEstateDaily.com is going to feature not just the show notes from every podcast, not just every podcast, but we're also going to be featuring special content just for the newsletter. Like, I'm in the midst of doing a lot of interviews with top producing agents, but also new agents who are very successful. So a little bit of everything is coming your way as an exclusive subscriber to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. Oh, and by the way, just subscribe. It costs you nothing. So go ahead and subscribe to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com or just scroll down below and click the link. All you got to do is enter your email address, then confirm the subscription, and you're off to the races. So Julie, let's jump in.
That's right. So today we're solving the spring market mystery. What's happening right now? What can you expect the rest of this quarter and this year? And what should you be keeping a close eye on? Today we're going to talk about interest rates, inventory levels, price trends, price cuts, and new construction. When you have the facts on these key indicators, it'll help you to make good business decisions. Knowledge gives you the confidence to speak with more prospects more frequently, which will result in more opportunities, i.e. closed transactions for you as a result of helping them.
This would be a good place to interject. We have done a podcast because we're going to be talking in point number, one of these points, a lot about new construction and frankly, a lot of these other topics. All of our podcasts are available to you anytime to download. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, we're on 30 different platforms and of course over on YouTube. But really most of you are partnered or I think fans from this podcast, which is great. But if you want to listen to past podcasts, to give you even more drilled down, let's say, for example, you want to learn how to work notice of defaults, or you want to learn how to work on your branding, you want to learn how to build a team, or maybe you want to learn how to actually proactively lead generate, aka prospect, and tons more. We have literally over 2,000 podcasts that are ready for you to listen to anytime. So make sure you listen to our back catalog. The information is very helpful. And thanks for all of you who are giving us 5-star reviews over on iTunes. And giving us great feedback over on, we got a lot of direct messages from Instagram and whatnot. But really, the greatest way for you guys to show your appreciation for this podcast, since this podcast is free, and we know in this market, a lot of you are using this podcast as your official coach, which is fine, but do please, you know, pay your dues and do give us a 5-star review over on iTunes and do leave a comment as to why you like the particular podcast or the podcast in general. We sincerely thank you for all the 5-star reviews. It's almost a 5-star rated podcast, which is extremely rare.
Yeah, so thank you for that. And today, again, we're going to talk about those interest rates, inventory levels, price trends, price cuts, and new construction. We'll also discuss the action steps to take once you're equipped with these facts. So point number one, it's on everybody's minds, mortgage interest rates. After spiking to nearly 8% in February, I think for a couple days it was like 8.1%, Rates are currently hovering around 6.4%, of course, depending on which lender you're talking to. Are we going to get stuck here in the mid-sixes, or can we look forward to further reductions? Well, Business Insider reports that most economists and analysts expect rates to fall to around 6% somewhere around the middle of the year. If inflation continues to stabilize, we should see one or two adjustments down this year. And of course, that can change, but that's what they're looking at right now.
All right. So I just read something right before the podcast about this very subject. So there's definitely going to be some rate reductions, and there's definitely going to be more inflation. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen, which frankly doesn't make any sense, is they're going to lower, it's called election year, kids.
Yeah.
Is they're definitely going to lower the interest rates. They already said that. And which, again, if you have been paying attention for any amount of time, you know, usually the rates need to be lowered when they want to heat the market up. In other words, things are a little stagnant. Maybe they're fearful of a recession of some variety. It's not normal to raise the rates when essentially prices are rising, inflation is increasing. Well,
and election year.
That's exactly what they're going to be doing this year. So get ready for that, because here's how you translate that data. Your buyers are going to be, if they don't take action, they're going to be maybe locked out of the house that they're trying to save the down payment for because the prices are going to increase. Not to mention the fact that they're going to see their rent increase, because obviously the property values will increase, that landlords will raise their prices, will raise their rents. And in many markets, you're going to see appreciation of homes of, Julie?
Well, so far, it's already in most markets gone up about 5%. Depending on where you are and depending on the impact of things like new construction, they're predicting between 3 and 9% appreciation.
And we're not even through first quarter.
That's right. So, you know, and I'd like to fact check as well. So one of the other ones that I was quoting here is the MBA, that's the Mortgage Bankers Association. Their forecast agrees that a 30-year mortgage rate should fall to somewhere around 6.1. They are giving a big range, actually, 6.1 to 6.9%. this year, and NAR says 6.1 to 6.8%. Fannie Mae predicts the rates to dip to 5.9%. All in all, that means lower than they're at now. So to your point, should your buyers wait? That's what most agent brains go to. It's not a great strategy when you consider what you said, that waiting will mean paying a higher purchase price. That means you're going to have a higher down payment and possibly guarantee you will have a bidding war, which of course then in turn drives the price up even more. The lower the rates go, the more mortgage applications are reported. We can track that literally almost minute by minute. As rates come down, applications go up. This means more competition. If a buyer is highly motivated and qualified, the move is to buy now and refinance later. Many lenders are offering free refinances for 6 months or a year after closing.
Now, the lower rates are also going to shake loose more inventory. Why? Because there's going to be more homes for sale as more buyers, or frankly, more sellers who have been poised to sell because they outgrew their homes or all other kinds of reasons, are going to put their homes for sale, which is going to create more inventory, which is going to create more forward velocity. So all these things are coming your way. And what it feels like to us where this is really going to be felt is in a second, maybe third quarter of this year, which should carry some serious momentum into 2025.
Yes, and an interesting thing I learned from several coaching clients today that will also spell more inventory. Guess what the builders are starting to do?
Lower rates.
And guaranteed purchase of the home that you have to sell before you build with us, which means so that what they're doing is the builder will make them into a cash buyer, non-contingent on the build. And then they've got all these many different variants of this.
Which builders did you hear?
Some of them were the track builders. Like I think some of the MI developments are doing this.
What are they doing?
Lennar's doing it. So I'm about to tell you that. What are they? So basically you want to build with me. I'm going to buy your house. You have, I think it's 6 months or something like that, which is the build process anyway, to sell it. And then, you know, you pay me back. And that makes me non-contingent. It makes me cash potentially. And it alleviates that stress. It's also a competitive move on the builder's sake, because if you're a builder that'll do that, you're going to build with me, not with the builder that doesn't, right?
I wonder if the builders are using, I remember that happened before, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think before the builders were using a third-party company to do those deals.
I'm sure they do. And they also, there's some rules. Most of them say you have to have at least 30% equity in case you have to lower your price, you know, that kind of thing. So that's something to watch. And it's also something that our smart agents, you know, using things like Express Offers can do on their own.
We'll get to all this in point number four, but it's all about working with builders. Continue.
Yes, but so back to the rates. In January of 2021, rates hit an all-time low of just 2.65%. That is extremely unlikely to ever happen again, since it was a result of the government's response to COVID, driving the federal funds rate to nearly zero and stimulating the feeding frenzy in the housing market that many of you live through. That was not normal. I know some of you, because you know, maybe you had 3 out of 5 of your years in real estate felt like normal, but that's not normal. So remember that no matter what the interest rate is, a savvy buyer can always buy down and lock in a lower interest rate, use an adjustable rate mortgage, or simply refi when the rates drop. And also remember that nearly 40% of transactions are all cash, so it doesn't even matter what the rates are for those buyers.
I'm going to give a point 1A, okay? And
sure.
So the other thing that's going to, you're really going to start feeling it if you haven't already, and this goes to demand, is the incredible demographic trends that are all going to be causing there to be really an ever-increasing, almost never-ending stream of wannabe buyers.
And yes, demand.
It's all from, obviously, all the younger generations, but it's also from baby boomers. A lot of times, what is happening now, there are, again, in your neighborhoods now where you sell real estate, there are droves of sellers that want to sell that just for whatever reason haven't been able to or been ready to or been willing to. All of that inventory is going to come for sale, and you're going to have a massive surge of buyer activity that's going to go on for at least 10 years, probably more like 20 years. So I know for many of you, this feels like, oh my gosh, you know, this feels like a continuation of last year. Well, it is a continuation of last year, but what we are scratching at right now is the bottom of really what has, you know, turned out to be the worst real estate market, arguably in 40 years, but certainly since 07 and 08. So you are living through historic times, go you, and you're surviving and you're thriving and you're going to get the benefits of actually getting, you know, the most out of the upswing. So just make sure you're poised and ready, and don't allow the motivation to leave your body because you're going to miss the opportunities. You're going to misread the tea leaves and not realize the market's actually, the winds are finally at your back again, because you're going to be too busy believing the market is in some sort of, you know, doldrums when it's not, when it's starting to improve. So you're going to have to start paying attention to everything we've been telling you at a heightened level, and be an early mover on the market's return, because it is going to return. There is going to be a surge. There are going to be agents making gobs and gobs of money, and a lot of them are going to be the ones that were, frankly, maybe struggling in the past market when all the seller lead, you know, buying lead companies were flourishing. All that's changing, so the agents that are going to be making the money in this market are going to be the ones that know how to proactively lead generate and actually sell real estate, not just wait around for a real estate client to show up in their email from one of these lead buying platforms, because most of those companies aren't going to be around by the end of this year. And if you want to learn how to be a proactive lead generator, if you want to learn how to make the most of this new market, obviously join Premier Coaching. We've made it very easy for you. You can join Premier Coaching for the first 30 days for free. The link is down below, or you can just go to premiercoaching.com. And as I say almost every day, yes, that does include a free daily semi-private coaching call with one of our Harris certified coaches. So just go to premiercoaching.com. It does not cost you a thing to join. It does give you instant access to the first level of Premier Coaching. And for many of you, that's the exact direction that you need in your businesses right now. Motivation, education. Now get into action and join premiercoaching.com.
Yes, and that brings us to the second reason to stay motivated and excited about the market turning around in your favor, and that is the gorilla in the room, inventory, as we've been dancing around for a second. Currently, there are about 500,000 single-family homes on the market as active listings. This is up 0.5% a week over week. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's up 21% from last year.
Wow.
So things are going in the right direction. The low last year, I can't remember exactly what month it was, but it was only 240,000 listings countrywide. So we're going the right direction. That amounts to about 100,000 more active listings versus this time last year. And according to Altos Research, and there was just a recent video on Housing Wire from Altos, if this trend continues and you spin those numbers out for the rest of the year, by mid-year we'll be up by about 40% in inventory. So that's good news.
And that does not include new construction.
Correct. Most new construction. That's right. It's important to watch not just the total number of available homes for sale, but also what the mixture is. So for example, nearly 60,000 listings were new this week, but did not sell right away. This is a trend towards more days on the market and will cause overall inventory to steadily inch up. Now, that would lead you to our point number three, wouldn't it? Doesn't that mean we're headed for a flurry of price reductions? More inventory, people freak out. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But guess what? There's no expectation of a crashing price phenomenon. Prices have already gone up by about 5% this year in most areas, and there is enough buyer demand even with higher interest rates. The median price of single-family homes in the U.S. is $432,000. At the end of last year, it was about $392,000. Historically, this time of year is the highest seasonally, though that may change when rates adjust downward in the summer. That said, if you're in a market where you're surrounded by oceans and oceans of new construction, you may be seeing more price reductions and less appreciation. So adjust for your market and your specific neighborhoods.
I'm going to level off there. Let's say somebody bought one of those $432,000 houses. And let's say they put, you know, I don't know, 10% down, let's say.
Sure.
Okay, so they owe roughly $390,000, $380,000.
Yep.
I can't do this in my head. Maybe you can.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. At current rates, I mean, I'm going to guess that person's going to pay probably $2,000 a month, maybe $2,500, somewhere in there.
$2,500, $2,600, yeah.
Some of you can figure out this in your heads or have mortgage calculators nearby. We should, but we don't. So here's, I want you guys to think about this. $432,000 house, and let's just use the over on the predictions as far as what the appreciation is going to be this year, and let's call it 7%, okay? It's already been 5% this year. It's not unreasonable to think things will appreciate by another 7%. 7 times 432,000 is roughly 30 grand. So you're looking at a scenario where basically the appreciation or the inflation on the house will be the same as what the PITI, or at least the principal and interest payments, has been on the house. People are able to live for free because we're in this weird Goldilocks zone, even with the higher rates. Now, when rates fall, and assuming that the demand is going to even increase, will result in demand will increase, causing even more inflation or appreciation in pricing, which will probably put home values appreciating at around 10% per year. I know we're getting ahead of our skis on some of these predictions or some of these expectations, but that is what should happen if you just study business 101 with regards to supply and demand.
Well, let's say it takes 2 years for your house to appreciate 10%. It didn't happen all in 1 year. Your house has still paid you back your down payment after only 2 years.
Well, right.
That's not terrible.
And you're living basically for free, assuming, you know, you didn't have to do a bunch of rehabs on the house. So kind of an interesting, weird time. You got to reframe how you think about real estate, because it's certainly going to be the thing to own for certainly the rest of our lifetimes.
Yes. And one of my favorite topics, as you know, I think yours too, is number four, new construction. From census.gov, single-family housing permits in January of this year were at a rate of just over a million single-family permits. This is 1.6% above the revised December figure. They were predicting about 990,000. Authorizations of units in buildings with five units or more, so small multifamilies, were 405,000 in January. Typically, new construction has been about 12% of the market, but it's currently running more than 30% of what's available. And builders are itching to buy more. We talked to somebody on the plane the other day that was gobbling up land to sell to builders.
Yeah, new Northern Virginia and other markets. And he basically is developing lots. And he said all of his inventory is completely sold out of raw land that he hasn't even subdivided yet.
Did he say it was like 8,000 lots or something?
Yeah, something like 8,000 lots.
That's a lot of houses.
It's going to be new construction. That's the stock everyone should be buying. Any new construction builders, for sure. I don't think it's supposed to be Zonda Research, is it?
Yes, it is,
okay.
Actually.
All right.
So according to Zonda Research, 40%, they do research for mortgages and housing and different things. 40% of home buyers state that the top reason they went to buy new was to avoid renovation and inspection problems. That also should be a good realtor reason. We don't like inspection and reno problems either, right? Followed by the second reason that people buy new construction, lack of inventory. And the third, because they were attracted to customizing the features and design of the new home. The fourth reason was because of sales incentives of up to $20,000 towards closing costs or rate buy downs. Definitely a great option. It's also worth noting that builders have changed their strategy in some markets to build townhomes. There was a bunch of reporting on this, or mid-rise condos to meet the demand of the first-time buyer and lower price segments. They're changing their product mix, floor plans, and options to meet the demand, build more homes faster, and still maintain their desired profit margins. Townhomes were a really big growing segment of all the new construction. So you might not know that they even exist in your town because they're not in your MLS. So go find them. Now, what to do all about all of this? Action steps. And then I'm going to highlight a coaching client in a second as well. So don't let me forget. Action steps. Number one, you must be an inventory specialist. Yes, inventory is increasing, but there are still three offers for every home for sale. Until this changes, assume that you'll have to get more creative with your MLS searches, which, by the way, we've done a podcast about.
We've done a billion
a
podcasts.
Bunch.
Yeah.
Know about new construction. Mine your own database for potential sellers. Somebody made a great analogy. They said that inventory right now is like a safari. When you go on a safari, you're looking for a wild animal that's probably hiding in plain sight. You just have to look harder.
I'm going to add to this. So when you're doing searches, don't just listen to what the buyer's telling you as far as the areas in which they want to live. You're going to have to punch those out and show them the stuff that's maybe outside of their desired city. Show them the new construction, even though they swore they didn't want new construction, that maybe takes an extra 15-minute drive for them to get to work. Their ideal situation might not be available anymore, so they might just, you're going to have to be more creative and take control of that experience with that buyer, or you're not going to sell anything. Because a buyer, you know, they have a, you guys, everyone has a tendency to say, this is the town, this is the neighborhood that where I'm going to live. Well, guess what? Another 15 minutes from here is an all new neighborhood being built by three new construction builders, and the houses are brand new and amazing floor plans, the whole thing. And you can be part of a community as it's actually coming out of the ground, which might be something a lot of people will be getting, will get really excited about. So open your minds to that. Take control. Learn how to use the MLS. Learn how to search for new construction. Become a Premier Coaching client. We give you the recipe to get all this done.
Yeah, so that leads us to the second part you kind of touched on. Drill down on what your buyers want and see if there's new construction match for them. Maybe they need to consider a townhome or look in a different zip code. I wanted to highlight Dan Burling and Beth Riley, who are my elite coaching clients in Minnesota. They are in hot pursuit of more new construction business. And one of the things that they're doing is that they've got like at least 20 buyers that, and about half of them would list with them if they find them something, but they have very little inventory. So one of their projects was to go through all 20 buyers and ask the question, is new construction even a consideration? And when they started asking their buyers, they got some very interesting feedback. One of them said, well, I thought new construction was only in the luxury end of things. And this guy was pre-approved for like $750. And he thought it was higher than that. So there's a lot of myths about new construction.
Along those lines, though, the new builders are not building in the less, say, the 432 and less for the most part, because they can't make enough margin.
That's why that trend towards townhomes and mid-rise
condos. Exactly, right. Yeah. So, if you're someplace in like Iowa or something, you're going to maybe have those homes that are going to be less than $500,000 once you're in new construction, because the land costs, the development costs are less. But in most of the country, your new construction is going to be $750, sure. $850.
So, but this guy could have done it. He just thought that it was even more than that. So it's interesting with the buyer's mindset. Another myth that buyers often think is that there's not going to be any trees. There's not going to be any sidewalks. Well, what about the amenities that new construction neighborhoods do have? They have clubhouses, they have pools, they have sidewalks, they have landscaping packages, all of these things. So Dan and Beth, brilliant. They're doing a podcast called Why You Need to Hire a Buyer's Agent to Represent You on the Build. And they're going to do myths and facts. They're going to talk about builder incentives. They're going to talk about the builder buyout program for houses. And they're going to do a two-part podcast series to generate new construction leads for them, which will inevitably come with listings for them. So they're going where the market is. They're surrounded by just development after development of new construction.
Well, what they should be doing, Julie, to take it to the next level, they should brand themselves as the new construction experts.
Yes.
Then they should start hammering that into the homes that are older homes, where people would naturally move up from those older homes, because that's the trend. I mean, neighborhoods, I know you're kind of pressed for time, but it's fascinating that neighborhoods and sometimes even entire cities, they come in and out of being trendy. When Julie and I sold real estate in Central Ohio, there was this really glorious area called Muirfield Country Club. You guys who are golfers, you'll have heard of that before. Well, Muirfield got started, I think, in the 60s, maybe the 70s, as in 1960s, 1970s. But most of the houses were built in the 80s. So those houses were these big, grand, sometimes 10,000 square foot plus houses that all needed updated. And so clear across town, 45 minutes away, maybe even an hour away, this new area came out of the ground called New Albany Country Club. New Albany Country Club, the houses were completely different. They were all new, all brick, all Georgian, the whole thing. And again, completely other area of town. Nothing was the same,
basically. And a beautiful new golf course, too.
Right. Well, so guess what happened? The people in Muirfield who had moved there, maybe a decade or two before because it was trendy and that's where all the, cool kids lived, now we're, picking up and moving across town to live in New Albany for the same exact reasons. So oddly enough, a lot of buyers follow housing trends kind of like they do, whether they're going to wear bell bottoms or not. It's strange, but it's true.
Yeah, that's right. It is trendy in some sense. So watch what's going on in your market. You might have a Muirfield too. And what happened in Muirfield? We had longer days on the market. We had big rehab costs. We had tons of expired listings. We had price reductions.
It became actually a very hard place to sell real estate because people were looking at, amount of work and money it would take and time to rehab one of those houses. And when those houses were rehabbed and they're all nice and new, they were able to, in many cases, the flippers that we helped buy houses in there, they didn't really make any margin because those prices were continuing to fall or they stagnated. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, just keep all these things in mind, guys. You got to be, you know, to make money, you got to be where the money's being spent and you open your mind to where it's being spent. And if it's not in your own backyard, just because it has been that way for years, you're going to have to move, you know, maybe even physically move markets, or at least the very least, you're going to have to expand your knowledge into other markets. Be entrepreneurial in this new market and you will be rewarded.
And ultimately, number three, if you're frustrated on the buyer side, be the listing agent. If you're not calling unrepresented owners, those are for sale by owners, probate and divorce attorneys, expired sellers daily, you're going to stay on the buyer hamster wheel forever. The problem with this is the longer you take to find something for your buyers, the less faith they have in you. The listing agent always wins.
And if you're working with buyers, just so we can put in really any listing whatsoever, again, lean into the new construction first, because that's going to be the easy button. If you've got sellers, you want to go after listings. A lot of those sellers are going to say, I would sell if I knew where I was going to move. Well, are you aware of the new construction that's, you know, 45 minutes away? Oh, we don't want a new construction house or whatever. Well, I got an idea. Let's go out there. I'll meet you out there tomorrow at, you know, Sunday at noon, and I'll just introduce you to them. And maybe at the very least, you can get some decorating ideas, something like that. Or they have amazing donuts on Sunday, right?
That's right.
Okay. And then show up there. And sure enough, you're going to see after walking through a couple of the models, they're going to fall in love with one. And then boom, bada boom, they're in contract and you're going to get paid in 6 months. Yeah. Oh, and you just got a listing too.
That's right. And remember, when you build, you're not competing with all of those other offers. You're not driving the price up. You know what your price is going to be. You don't have the inspection nightmares. It smells good. You get to choose your paint color. Buyers love it. And it's interesting. I was talking about Dan and Beth a second ago. When Dan went through all of those buyer calls to see maybe we should at least consider new construction, he now has 6 showings set up with new construction that he wouldn't necessarily have had he not drilled down and at least run it up the flagpole. Now, some of them were a little lukewarm, as you said. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to say, well, I'm going to be over in the neighborhood anyway. Let's just take a look and see how you feel about it. And then you'll be surprised because new construction almost sells itself.
So how are you guys feeling optimistic? Are you starting to see opportunity maybe where other people aren't? That should give you, fire up your animal spirits and make you motivated to actually go out there and do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. So point number 4 under what to do with all this information is obviously get involved in coaching. This is going to be a skills-based market. I'm going to share with you guys a conversation I had with somebody that I was inviting to be on our podcast, Rick Jensen. And he and I were talking about AI because he's actually spent an enormous amount of time, is very knowledgeable about how AI is going to be or is it already being implemented in real estate. And I'm going to tell you guys this for 2 reasons. One, I want you to see it as opportunity, but 2, I want you to see it as maybe a problem for you. So let's say, for example, you have spent a lot of time, as many of you have over the last, I don't know, decade, doing a lot of social media. And let's just, for the sake of explanation, maybe make you a YouTube star, okay? So in your marketplace, you're a YouTube rock star, you're a YouTube rock star realtor, you're even a celebrity, you know, other agents recognize you, you've got 1 billion followers, the whole thing. You have done it perfectly, okay? Now, other agents, they're not going to ever be able to catch up with you, are they? It's going to take years, videos. They're going to have to be comfortable making the videos. They're going to have to do all the work, learn all the things. And you know as well as I do, they won't. Okay? Agents aren't going to even try to compete with you because you have put in all the work. And after all, you're the rock star. Uh-oh. There's something around the corner I hope you're paying attention to. Now and in the future, by future, I mean this year, every single agent that you know, frankly, with virtually no effort, is going to be able to match or beat your presence on YouTube, your presence on Instagram, TikTok, if it's still around in a month. All these different platforms where some of you have been building your brand, and I'm air quoting, all of those platforms are going to be proliferated with other agents using AI to create unbelievably good content. And in many cases, the content is going to be, they won't be able to perceive it as being AI generated. And I'll give you for example. There, and Rick and I are going to share with you guys on his interview. So you're going to be able to have a video, or essentially an AI, I'll just get to the punchline. AI is going to make a video for you. You're going to be in the video. You're going to be in the video either in front of like a newscaster style where you're just, talking around to the camera, or you're going to be walking around a house, or you're going to be walking around in a community. The whole thing is going to be synthesized, if that's the right word, through AI. Oh, I'm not done yet. It's going to be your voice. It's going to look exactly like you. It's going to be 4K. It's going to be your voice. Oh, Well, what? How the hell are you going to, you know, how's the AI going to know what to say? You're going to give it some suggestions of what the video should be on. Well, you don't even want to do that. That's fine. Ask the AI to create, you know, 50 titles and 50 outlines for a podcast or for video, you know, production for you. And tell it to use the SEO or tell it to use results based on YouTube SEO, the whole thing. And you're going to be able to then have the AI create for you a whole bunch of outlines, a whole bunch of titles. You wouldn't have had to do a single damn thing, barely lifting a finger, you know, as much as you have to lift a finger to click a button on a keyboard, right? Now, you're then going to, just to, you know, close the circle, you're then going to have the thing, the AI will then make a video of you presenting the AI-generated script that it just created for you, and you're going to be able to pump these things out 24/7. Now, let's say you're like me and you're lazy and you don't want to do it. There are so many virtual assistants out there that'll do this for you. You'll be able to hire somebody to probably create videos like I'm describing for maybe $5 or $10 each. Endless amounts of content. Everybody is going to be a YouTube rock star. That is my prediction. Okay, everyone's going to be a rock star on Instagram. You guys think filters on Instagram and filters on YouTube, you know, are state of the art. They're nothing compared to the technology that's around the corner. If you're not paying attention to this, which most people are, trust me when I tell you the technology is absolutely bonkers cool. Let me share this story with you. I was listening to a podcast, and I don't remember the exact details. I just remember the high points. There was a guy that was in the midst of building a big recording studio where he was going to create like Pixar-style videos. And he had already budgeted $850 million. I guess he was halfway into building this thing. You know, imagine just the latest, greatest technology, room for staff, the whole thing. So there was an AI, I don't remember the name of it. Some of you probably will remember it because you've heard the story. There was AI technology that came out that was able to produce absolutely stellar, unreal videos, and it was essentially costing nothing. So he scrapped his plans to create this almost billion-dollar studio. Now, there was another thing I read yesterday that, and maybe this isn't completely relevant to real estate, but it's still interesting. Let's say, for example, you wanted to create a lead capture website, or you wanted to create a funnel website, or you wanted to create something to do with all the leads you're generating off your AI-created video. And now that you're a YouTube rock star, well, what are you going to do? You're going to lead generate. So where are you going to lead generate? You're going to lead generate into some sort of website where you maybe put them into a newsletter. That's fine. That's great. Good for you. Go you. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, guess what? Yesterday, there was an announcement, and I messed around with it a little bit, and it was ridiculously good. You can go now and have AI literally create a website for you that accomplishes the goals. If you don't know what the goals are, you can ask it to decide what the goals are. Like, create a optimized landing page for people opting in for my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is called this. These are folks that are interested in buying or selling real estate. You guys get it? And then it will create the website. It will create the code if necessary, or it'll use WordPress or something as a platform. And it publishes the damn thing for you. The whole technology surge of what's going to be happening with AI is like nothing we've ever experienced. Normally, technology evolves in a linear fashion, right? Things get, you know, like life, right? You know, it's now 4 o'clock, soon it'll be 4:01. Well, guess what? In the future, well, now is the future, as far as technology goes. And by the way, usually computing power is doubled every 7 years. I believe that's right. So what we're going to be seeing now because of AI is we're going to be seeing computing power and the actual results from the computing power double probably every 12 months. Even faster in some markets, depending on the demand for whatever the niche is. Ray Kurzweil, get this, ready for this, you guys listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, Julie and I do. Anyway, so he was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently, and Ray Kurzweil predicted, get ready, within 10 years, there's going to be essentially, we're not going to age in the biologically, we're going to stop aging because the AI medical therapies and the different, you know, pharmaceuticals and all the rest of it are going to make it so that our bodies no longer age. So Ray's mission, I think he was 76, is to live another 10 years. And then essentially his belief is that the AI created, you know, advanced medicine is going to make it so that he will be able to stay stagnant at 86 in his case, or 10 years older in your case than you are now. Now, here's something else he said, which I didn't know, that effectively, because of the advanced medicine and advanced medical care, and just like the last 50 years, we've been able to every year you age by a year, right? Well, actually, Ray said, because of the advanced medicine that we have over, say, for example, 50 years ago, you actually get 4 months back. So you're effectively not aging by, you know, 12 months every year. You're aging by 12 months minus 4 months. You guys get it? And so Ray was saying, in 10 years, you're actually going to you're not going to age at all because of the advanced therapeutics and all the rest of it that all of us are going to be able to leverage because of all the things I just said. Now, if that doesn't make you optimistic, I don't know what will. So here's the thought for you. That means you're going to be needing money for a little longer than you thought, which means you're going to have to, you know, plan on, you know, being better, always increasing your skill set and your mindset. And hopefully this podcast did it. Be incredibly opportunistic, yes, but be incredibly optimistic about what this market and your future is going to hold for you. It is going to be incredible. The advancements that all of us are going to be experiencing. You know, I know there are a lot of, you know, dystopian perspectives on what AI is going to do. And maybe some of them are right. I don't know. I just listened to two books, and both books were, you know, in our travel to Dallas and back. And I listened to things that are, you know, not real estate related, not even business related. And both of them had a dystopian view of what AI is going to hold for us in the future. Let's set aside those dark future predictions and let's focus on what should be happening, which is massive improvements in all of our lives. And again, if you have felt like you're on your heels or a disadvantage, because let's say the younger generation has had the headway on creating a lot of online content that's searchable, that hasn't been able to create buyer leads for them and the rest of it, well, you're going to be able to easily fill that gap soon. And the special warning to all of you who have been reliant on all that branding and marketing, you're soon going to have a tsunami of competitors, an absolute deluge of competitors. So you better get ready. And the only way you're going to be able to compete in this new market, the main way you're going to be able to compete in this new market, is going to be through your skills. You're going to have to know how to pre-qualify. You're going to have to know how to actually sell real estate. You're going to have to know how to present. You're going to have to know how to overcome objections. You're going to have your skill set be what's actually going to result in the transaction, not what some of you have been lulled into believing is the most important thing, which is branding and marketing. Branding and marketing, so you're clear, has a point. It does have usefulness for sure. But ultimately, it's the people that with the skills that rule the day. And that always was true. It's even going to be more true in the future, given everything I just shared with you guys. So thank you for keeping this number one listen to daily podcast for real estate agents in at least the United States. It's truly our pleasure and our honor to spend this time with you every day. Please do give us a 5-star review and a comment about why you like this podcast over on iTunes. We sincerely appreciate your continued support. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.